You can see how the church is trying to teach us that God's word is for real. We read it all the time and we get some devout feelings and then we go about our business. And now this is God talking to us. And he's promising that the eyes of the blind shall see. And that's exactly what our Lord did today. Now, if we look at this Isaiah passage, thus says the Lord God, in a very little while, Lebanon shall be changed into an orchard, and the orchard will be so thick and dense with trees, it will be regarded as a forest. So, that's Lebanon, that's not Israel. But Lebanon will be like that. Sometimes Israel thought of Lebanon as being part of its own territory, but not most of the time. Then we have this promise. On that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book. Can you imagine? Remember, few people could read. All the communication was somebody stood up here and read. And if you were deaf, all of that was cut off from you. They will hear the words of a book. And out of gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see, so the deaf shall be healed. The blind shall be healed. The lowly will ever find joy in the Lord, and the poor rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. And the disenfranchised, the lowly, the poor, will be taken care of. The tyrant will be no more. And the arrogant will have gone. He may be referring to conquerors, but there's plenty of rich within Israel who persecuted their own. And the Lord always spoke. The two things he always speaks about in the prophets are worshiping one true God and taking care of the poor. Those are the two things you can expect every prophet. So much so that if any prophet got up there and didn't have those two elements in his prophecies, in his message, you'd suspect him. Okay. All who are alert to do evil will be cut off, those whose mere word condemns a man, who ensnare his defender at the gate and leave the just man with an empty claim. In other words, the persecution, the oppression of those who don't have power. God is promising it's over. There'll be a time when that will not happen. Now that time is the time of the church. We're supposed to be the place where this never happens. It's a solemn promise. Now, what is most surprising about this, you see, is that implied here, and it's the message of every prophet, the main thing that he finds fault with is that we keep walking around as though there were no God. You know, we're busy all the time. We're thinking about this, that, and the other thing. But we're not aware of God. And that's abnormal. The most real thing in all creation, in all beyond creation, is God. How come we can be aware of the stock market, the health plan, the whatever, and not aware of God? It takes an effort to turn our hearts to God. One of the things the prophets keep saying is, can't you see? How can you be sinning like this? Can't you see that God is here around us, in us? You can't walk around as though there's no God. Jacob should have nothing to be ashamed of. What a beautiful promise, right? What does that mean? It means all your sins forgiven. Well, you know, the two first effects of sin in Genesis are shame and fear. They were all of a sudden ashamed to be with each other. That unveiled communication that God had gifted them with, it's not there anymore. So they made coverings to cover themselves. Shame. Then they heard God and they went and hid. Fear. Those are the effects of sin. So that's why it says here, you see, Jacob shall have nothing to be ashamed of. What a promise. Jacob, that's us, will know his sins are forgiven. I told you once, I think, in the monastic tradition, all the monks would pray to know that their sins were forgiven. And you think, my gosh, they're living out in the desert, you know, fasting, eating about three times a week, saying the whole Psalter every day. Yeah. And they're worried. How do you know that your sins are forgiven? When I know that in my heart I have forgiven everybody, when I have no rancor, no enmity, no revenge in my heart, my sins are forgiven. Very beautiful, isn't it? They shall keep my name holy. They shall reverence the Holy One of Jacob and be in awe of the God of Israel. Those who err in spirit shall acquire understanding. And those who find fault, especially with God, will receive instruction. Just think of the depth and beauty of this promise. And you see, the prophet is somebody who says, can't you see that God is right here? You keep looking for God, He's right here. He's closer to you than you are to yourself. Just turn to Him and cultivate that inner awareness. Pray. Take real time for prayer. Listen and obey. Because the whole desire of the Lord is to bring us to this awareness and the confidence that goes with it. The one who loves me, my Father, is right here. Now, we'll all acknowledge that metaphysically. What else can we say? God's everywhere. But this is something else. And that's the promise. So, now that God has become incarnate and died for us and poured out His blood for us and risen from the dead, we can seek His face all day. We can turn from sin, and we can, in His power, and the power of His forgiveness of us, forgive everybody. And then we'll walk around with no shame, because we know all our sins are forgiven.